Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 50 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
I think we're a little in love with all things Outlander.
Announcements this week. You guys, there were so many things that were coming. Like the lead up to this first episode.
This has been, I think, the craziest week.
Craziest day on Saturday. Like, it started well before I woke up.
Oh, I think it was, like, before 8 a.m. Well, you gotta remember, it was probably East Coast.
Oh, I'm sure it was East Coast.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure part of it was actually UK time. Which is, like, you know.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It was all day tweeting. It was, like, all day stuff on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It was constant. Like, I had to put my phone away. I almost turned it off at one point because I was like, everyone needs to shh. So, we had two little bits of news and stuff from Mr. Bear McCreary that came out after the episode finished airing. And it was that every episode will have unique music.
End music.
Yeah. So, there will
be... Well, obviously, each episode will have somewhat unique music.
But during the credits.
It'll have...
The end credits will have...
Yes, he was specifying the end music, but... Every episode is going to have different music just by way of what it is, but themes will obviously recur.
Right. Now, I will point out that a lot of series these days, like on the premium channels, do end with different music every mm-hmm. week, but this one is going to have, like...
Original
music every week, it sounds like. So that's exciting for me, and I'm sure it's exciting for you, too.
And since he also worked on Black Sails, my guess is Black Sails also had unique stuff at the end of each. My guess.
He also posted a blog post. I think this is his first blog post?
His first Outlander episode-specific blog post. He has written for Outlander, I think it was a letter to Outlander fans, something like that. It was basically introducing himself to Outlander fans who didn't know about him. Also on his blog, though. I hope everyone reads that. But this was specifically about the music and his work on episode one.
I've never actually been to his website, his official website, before. And we just pulled it up on the screen. And I knew that he had a long relationship with Ron Moore, but I didn't realize he did the music for all of these different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many shows. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Walking Dead, Outlander, obviously. Battlestar Galactica, also obviously. Da Vinci's Demons, Defiance.
I didn't know that. So there you go.
Europa Report, Black Sails, Human Target. Like, literally this list is...
Capricorn.
I mean, it's not endless. It does end, but it's very long. I'm impressed. But doing that much original music, like...
That, yeah.
That's and especially with series where they're episodic and weekly, that's a lot. That's a lot. Okay, sorry, I'll stop rambling about music. Ron Moore has started a podcast. How exciting!
And he's done it before.
He did it with Battlestar, right? From what I understand, and this is going to sound like it's one of those like Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, Wizard of Oz sync-ups, but if you play the podcast and start it with the episode, it syncs up.
Kind of a commentary-ish.
Right, it's like a running commentary.
Turn the sound down on your episode.
Exactly.
And listen to him. And we had several people ask us on our Facebook page where they could subscribe to it. To the best of our knowledge, it is not subscribable yet. He will publish links to it. We hope that maybe there will be a way to subscribe to it later on. But the content is currently hosted on Star's site. So right now, he provides links, and I'm sure they're going to be all over the internet, and we will obviously also post links to that.
So that's exciting news.
And he also, I know you're going to say this later on, but basically Twitter was a hot mess yesterday. I mean, in a good way. It was just ridiculous.
It was the best kind of hot mess.
It was the best kind of hot mess. And Ron was tweeting, he live tweeted all this stuff, but... Also, it was Ron tweeting with his wife, Terry.
That was my favorite
part.
That
was the best.
That was my favorite part.
It was amazing. And the best part was that Terry asked Ron if they were going to do a podcast together about Outlander. And I didn't actually read his response, but from the reaction, because I couldn't follow everything. There was no way. But I believe they may very well do so.
That would be awesome.
It would be
but
the best.
My favorite part of their tweeting back and forth with each other was discussion of the cat Oliver.
Oh my gosh.
Who's apparently satanic. That made me laugh. We got some new pictures from Instagram this week. Not the least of which being our lovely dancing druids. Looks like they're probably rehearsing or setting up a shot. Mm-hmm. and they're all in these really interesting robes. I can't even understand the pattern I'm looking at. Like, it doesn't...
It's like some have robes,
and some have coats robes. Over the robes.
Yeah.
Like, the robes maybe aren't as warm as they could be.
But they're wearing their little... Are they... They're not Clarks, are they? Those little... What are those white shoes that people say that
you They get? Look like Toms.
Toms. They are Toms. They're wearing the little white Toms shoes.
They are Toms?
I think she said they were, yeah.
That's
the ones
funny.
That you send all over the world?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Terry said that they were Toms.
Because I'm pretty sure that when we first saw them, I said they looked like Toms.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're actually, that's one of my, I know it's not a landscape shot, but for some reason, I think that's my favorite Instagram shot that Starz has given us so far.
They also gave us a shot of Claire and Frank. It's the morning of the stones, of the dancing druids, and she's drinking out of a very colorful water bottle.
Modern bottle.
modern bottle. So... I don't know. How many new announcements were there this week about countries getting it? Was it like four?
I don't know if we... I'm hoping we didn't miss any. I think it was about five.
All the Scandinavian countries are represented. So that's like Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Germany.
Herzlichen Glückwunsch, Deutschland.
So before the episode premiered last night,
yes.
We all know it was released. I'm sure we all watched it. And it was viewed over a million times, which I think bodes well. For the success of the series, hopefully. I'm hoping everyone tunes in and then goes and gets Starz so that we can have our multiple seasons, because I want them all.
Yep.
We got a new little marketplace online, the OutlanderStore.com, where they are selling official Outlander-themed things from the Starz and Sony people.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would like to own those wine glasses.
Oh, those are nice.
Yeah, right?
One thing I was curious about was if this was any part of the merchandising deal that we'd heard about from Knockout Licensing, and we actually found out that it's actually not yet. So that's even more exciting that this is actually from Sony,
right?
And so there's even more that we haven't learned about yet, so or more possibilities. So pretty neat news too.
And finally, Janet Katsuan,
one of Summer's favorite jewelry designers.
Oh my god, you guys
ever.
I'm obsessed. I'm fully obsessed. So she has her Outlander-inspired line. She's had a few pieces mm-hmm. come out recently.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest in that line is a beautiful pin. She's calling it the Sterling Silver Sassenach pin with a moonstone on the handle. And the moonstone, I believe, is on the very tip-top, because I can't see it in the picture, but it's...
You can see the profile of it.
Yeah. But it's beautiful. It's got thistles.
And it's silver.
It's kind of like if Outlander kind of had a baby with itself and created jewelry, it would be everything in this pin. The only thing this pin doesn't have is Jamie on it.
But it's like, it's got the dagger, the thistle, the Sassenach, and the Je suis prêt
emblem.
Stag emblem.
Yeah. But what I love about her jewelry is that it's like three-dimensional. It's not mm-hmm. just on the front. It's like if you flip mm-hmm. it over, the detail work is still going mm-hmm. on the back. It's not like just like a flat piece.
And I'm not anti-pin or brooch at all. I'm not anti-really any type of jewelry. I just don't own a darn one. But this, I would want to, like, put it on any scarf that I had. I mean, you don't have to have a scarf to wear a pin, but this is inspiring. I love this piece. Inspired and inspiring.
The Luckenmuth charm comes in several...
Incarnations.
There's this ring. There's the charm on velvet, which I think is actually really, really striking. Mm. When
I was Victoria or something.
Right. I mean, I don't know who would think to do that. It's beautiful. Obviously, Janet would. There's a pearl necklace, the earrings, and then there is just the original charm. And then it's also available now as a bracelet. And then we have the Sassenach pin that is now available that comes in gold-plated brass and then I believe it's sterling silver. I really think the design pops more on the silver. I think it's more defined. I just think silver is so elegant.
They're both gorgeous. And the gold, I mean, the gold looks very rich.
The first picture she released was of the gold one. And I was like, gosh, I hope that comes in silver. Because mm-hmm. you know I'm going to buy it. But yes, I was very excited to see that it was available in silver as well as the plated gold.
So we are forever fans.
Super fans.
And thank you to Summer for introducing me to her Facebook page, like, what, a year ago?
At least. But, yes, beautiful work again.
So please check out her site.
Please
check it out.
And again,
we'll link to her site as well as her Outlander line.
Because I think the more of us, I mean, she's a fan. She's going to do it. She's doing this for herself as much as for the other fans. But I think the more people are interested in it and buy stuff from, the more she'll do. I believe we should move
quickly
to our very long discussion of episode one.
entitled Sassnack.
Everyone. All right. This is it. We start our episode discussions. And this week, because we ended our read-along with our friend Lene, we decided we'd bring her back to begin our discussions.
Because horses!
I believe there are horses in this episode.
There are probably horses, going to be horses in almost every episode.
Pretty much. Are you trying to wrangle an invite to every episode?
There are no automobiles.
Yeah, that's true.
In 1743.
Y'all, I think she's looking for, like,
a long-term invite.
A recurring invite.
A recurring...
Hey, I got that.
That's true. What is it? A promotion to full-time Outlander pod.
I'm just contributor. Your equine consultant.
That is true.
That is equine things in most episodes probably from here on out ever.
That's true. There were some pretty horses, I have to say.
There were some really cute
ones.
They were
very, very pretty. There was one big dapple gray one that was really
pretty.
Wasn't
that Dougal's horse?
Yeah, Dougal's horse was very pretty. Mm-hmm. There was one that was a dapple gray that was really short-necked. He was a draft horse. It was like the shortest neck horse.
See, hold on, Lene, wait. This is exactly why we have her, because I can't say any of this stuff.
No, he was cute, but he was so short-necked. Like, he looked like a dwarf horse,
See, because here's what's happened. We watched the episode. All I see is bloody Jamie and his face and his gorgeousness. And she's like, did you see the dapple horse?
Episode 1, Sassnack. Written by Ron D. Moore and directed by John Dahl.
So what did you guys think of how they started it? Like, with the... First of all, the music is awesome. The intro.
Oh, it is. And that's... Music. We're going to talk about that too.
Okay. All
right. So, not even the title. I thought that it was... What I liked about it was that they didn't start with the title this week.
Mm-hmm.
They started with the voiceover. And it wasn't just a voiceover. It was a voiceover...
From the book,
like directly straight
from
the book.
Almost verbatim. Which I loved.
With the beautiful landscape in the background. Like, it was like that was the first character
okay,
we got
to
see.
Okay, and so it was TVMA, but this was like the least MA it's probably ever going to. Well,
no, it's going to be a couple episodes in before it gets
Here's what I thought about as far as the MA went. Like, it said nudity, but I thought it was actually pretty chaste.
Oh, no, it was very
comparative.
They showed boobies.
They did, but we started off, like, the first encounter she and Frank had together, like, they kind of went off to firelight. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
So it was
that's
like they didn't show it. So I was like, oh, is that what we're doing here, stars?
Okay, let's go back to the top of the episode because you're getting ahead.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
So it opens with, I think there may be some music in the background, but it's not the opening
music. No, it's not the opening.
Oh,
no.
And it's with the voiceover with people disappear all the time. Ooh, and I loved
get
it.
Chills.
And this,
I may have to paint that.
So the voiceover was great. And this shot, this view, and just, like, a little bit into it, you see, like, little random raindrops or something. It's just...
Beautiful.
So gorgeous.
Beautiful.
So gorgeous, yeah. So, when they show Farrell's store, mm-hmm. Farrell's general store, and the whole blue vase, and...
We got the first glimpse of the coat.
Yeah. Beautiful, the coat is beautiful. And I thought, you know, because she started off with a voiceover, whom is she telling the story to? I mean, we don't know. We still don't
but
know
in the
books.
In the books, we don't really know who
she's telling the story to us, and that's all that matters. Come on!
We are the people that matter, after all.
So the blue vase was just... I know it was symbolic,
symbology. Is that a word?
It is now. I think it is a word.
Symbology is a word.
Of everything she probably always lacked in her childhood years, of having like a home base.
A resting home.
Having a place to put things, to be able to collect things, to, you know, all of that. It was right there in the store window, and she... was thinking about buying it.
So and then into the war flashback.
Can we blame Terry for bringing shoulder pads back? Because I'm seeing them everywhere now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, but shoulder pads.
Yeah, not everywhere.
And, I mean, I don't even have, like, tiny shoulders or big shoulders for that matter. I've got, like, you know, proportional shoulders. But, like, every time I try these new dresses on with the shoulder pads, I'm like, eh.
No, I have kind of wider shoulders. And if I have shoulder pads on, I look like I'm getting ready to go be a linebacker.
I think the way that they showed
they
this
wanted to
clip,
give you the feeling of that, everything she went through, how hellish it was, how...
And then, boom, it ended.
It was bloody, and she looks so tired. I mean,
And then she turns to drinking.
Yeah, and she turns to... swigging this champagne that
like
she's
I
drinking
said,
or whatever.
She's ironically drinking that champagne.
Yeah,
she's
like, but you can see how weary she looks.
Yeah.
You know, she looks so weary, like, is it really over?
And then I think after the war flashback, we come to finally the opening title.
But I think also with the war flashback, I think she's, that picture to me said a lot of what a lot of women went through during the war because they all had jobs.
And they go from having jobs to, like, now the war's over, now what do I do?
Now what do I do?
Now what do I do?
Well, and so many women, even back home, that weren't actually combat nurses and such, they were expected to put their jobs down and go back to being housewives again. So it's kind of like...
You know, they wrote a lot of songs about it in the 40s. something like, how to keep a woman back on the farm after she's seen Paris or something like that. Yeah. There's a bunch of songs that are like that.
Did you notice as she's walking back after the Blue Vase thing, after the war flashback, that building with that big black ball on the round, that big whatever that was, that's exactly where the ghost is standing on the run.
Yes.
I went, like on the second or third watch. Okay, the opening. There's the stag. That reminded me of Monica the Glen. The running woman. Oh my gosh.
Well, the stag is his. Is it their symbol.
Yes. And they showed him, they had two stag shots. And the second stag shot they show almost makes me nervous every time because it's like, I'm looking at you.
Seeing the names of all these people we've been following for the past 12 to 13 months was a little bit emotional for me because this is like,
but can I
these
tell
people
you
how, chat with us kind
how
of.
How cool it was to see all the writers listed as co-executive producers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, they have so much, like, a much larger hand in it than just writers.
Well, there's
which
the
I
second
thought
stag.
Was really cool.
Yeah. And the lack of full faces, not having a full human face, was very haunting and a very interesting choice.
You never really see the faces
true,
so much.
Because I feel like it could be their story, but it could be anyone's story.
And that's someone has commented on that. It's like, we all have a time in our lives when we feel displaced. No. And that is what she is in the entire series.
Yes.
And then just after that shot, I think they give the title, Sassenach, and they show
the
forget-me-nots of the stone. So I loved it.
How could you forget the forget-me-nots?
And then after that, you see Ron Moore's name again, and then you see, Ron Moore's name a second time, and then the director. But they also show, based on the books by Diana Gabaldon, and that gave me, the chills. So the episode goes into the 40s, and I love, love, love all the 40s. The music, the clothing, her blue coat we see.
Again.
That was beautiful. And the car, amazing.
I want to give Tobias Menzies props for his portrayal as Frank, because going into this, I could not understand how they would find an actor who would make me fall in love with Frank and at the same time hate Black Jack Randall was such a fever.
Well, when you read the books, though... I mean, it's kind of like...
I know they're two totally different characters,
I know, but when you read the books, you're given so little of Frank, and I think that's why when you put it in this format and for TV, you have to give the audience a bit more of him, which from what we understand of the show, they're going to do even more flashbacks throughout.
Which I'm actually, I didn't think that would be, but I'm actually kind of excited about it.
I'm very excited because I think it's really going to help the audience understand more why she makes the choices she does and why she loves him the way she does.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, I'm hoping they'll, I don't know what they'll do, but I'm really hoping that they'll, show maybe how they met, how they, maybe they'll put that in. In this episode,
I hope they definitely show more of that.
More of their early, or more of their early marriage before the war, or something.
Well,
so that we understand a bit more of why she chooses the way she does.
No, I asked Diana Gabaldon that last, in our interview, was like, will we ever see their meeting? Because I really like her with Jamie. We got to see their meeting. We got to see their love progress and bloom and blossom.
And we
don't have that with Frank, which is why it's so important that they show more of the relationship before he goes back. I mean, she.
I agree. I very much, we already know how much I like Tobias, so that's not even up for discussion. But
yeah, we all know how much you like him.
He definitely does superbly as Frank and really makes, I think, a lot of people care for him. Now, in the scene where they're checking into the B&B and that whole thing about St. Orin.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to look it up and just see, because again, even if Diana, this is not written by Diana, so to see if Ron's choice of a saint had any kind of meaning, and read a little bit more about his saint's life. So Orin is the name, there's a Scottish association and an Irish association to the same one, but the meaning can be a little bit different. So Orin is a given name meaning pale-skinned or white in Scottish. Now, that was interesting to me because we're not going to give spoilers away, especially because we haven't done the read-along for the other books, but Claire, let's put it this way, Claire is very pale, and her character and Katrina, and it's just a very interesting choice I know he's not naming Claire Oren, but it was an interesting choice of a saint for giving Claire in her future books and what other names she's given. Oren or Oran is a name given name meaning song, also in Scottish. And it is, in Irish, a given name derived from Odrin, meaning pale green. So Odrin, a saint, was actually a preceded Saint Columba, who came to Iona from Ireland. Following what Frank tells us as viewers, yes, the story was that he was willingly buried alive. And I just thought it was interesting. I was just trying to find, other than being pale, or the name meaning pale or white, was there any kind of connection between the choice of the saint and the time of year or Claire's story or what was going to be happening with Claire? I did find that, and it makes sense because it's near Samhain or Halloween, that the saint's feast day is October 27th. And even though they don't mention it in the episode, Claire's birthday is October 29th. So
that's going to be an interesting change from the books.
I know, but we don't know if the birthdays are changed. That's the question, too. Because they haven't mentioned anything.
True.
And if Claire's birthday has changed,
well, because
is Jamie's birthday changed?
Well, in the books, they mention her birthday right after Cranesmere.
Yeah.
And it's mentioned because, you know, it's an interaction with Jamie. So that'll be an interesting thing to see how they get around with the time change.
So yeah, so that little conversation when they're checking into Mrs. Bear's was interesting. And what did you guys think about when they first walked into that room? Wasn't that a beautiful room?
That was a huge room.
It was huge.
That's
but
what
it
I
was
thought
beautiful.
Of how big it was, especially given how the small time. The room we stayed in San Diego was.
Oh, that's right.
And they shoved two beds in that room.
Oh, and your yeah.
In the room we were in, and two full size beds in that room. I mean, and that's what I was thinking of was. God, that is a huge room that they fit.
And I just liked it how they had those two, because the discussion later on in the series, in the show, in the episode, they're sitting in those chairs, armchairs, at the end of the bed. I'm like, or in front of the fireplace. I mean, how fancy is that?
I will say that I did miss the vacuuming.
I did too.
Because I thought that was so cute, because while it was obvious that she was paying attention to the squeaking and the moving
chandelier. They brought it in that way.
Because with the vacuuming, it made her so, like...
close.
So, no, because
much
she was
more, like,
purposefully vacuuming,
oh, yeah.
Eavesdropping and
that's
being
true.
Like, are they doing it? Yeah. Are they doing
dirty
it
dirty little minded.
Right.
Thing.
It made
yeah.
her a little bit more of a scamp than
yeah.
they made her out in the actual series. But
No, and it was cute. It was cute, you know, Claire being playful with him and jumping on the bed, and then another line pulled directly from the book of, you'll never get a branch on your family tree at that rate, you know, kind of thing.
Which you know, highlights his obsession with genealogy.
Yeah. Yeah. His personal genealogy, yeah. So I do like, I think it's very cute that they're jumping on the bed and all that.
And they talk about how sometimes during the war they couldn't remember each other completely.
Yeah.
Like she couldn't remember his laugh.
But he remembers
her lines.
He was obsessed
with her hands.
But
the
he remembers
lines
them.
On
that's
hand.
What's funny is she doesn't remember his laugh. He remembers her lines on her hand. So it was very cute.
But you know, it's funny the things you remember and
absolutely.
You don't remember after you've haven't seen people for years.
But
it's
Tobias,
it's
oh, I should say Frank. Frank did seem, when he was saying, he was holding her hand and saying, I would
he
got in trouble for
thinking.
These doodles. Exactly.
Couldn't
he
stop
seemed. Tobias is a good actor, period, full stop. But Frank seemed... I felt for Frank in this because he seemed so emotional here. Like, not on the verge of sobbing or anything, but just a bit verklempt, exactly.
Yeah.
And he seems emotional and almost near tears. Not sobbing, but, like, overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And she silences him with a kiss. And so this kind of segues into their first lovemaking session, which we don't see.
That we don't see. That we are aware of, but we don't see.
Come on, stars.
Come on, give us a little more.
Ass off, Spartacus.
Seriously, that's it?
And we already said this, Tobias is perfect as Frank, and he really does a good job of fleshing him out. It was interesting that she initiated this first time. So far.
She initiates
hold
both.
On. We're going in order.
The
this
first
is the first.
Two.
We're going in order.
Okay,
this
okay,
is the first
okay.
one. Yeah. There is no other one yet.
I enjoyed the addition of their visit to Leoc. I didn't
oh,
know
too.
That I would. I didn't know that I would. No. When I saw that they were doing it, I was like,
but I love the whole.
But
I like the
juxtaposition,
and how they brought him there with the guise of him saying how his ancestor may have been there at some point. Remember that he said, "For all I know, my ancestor could have walked these halls or whatever." How he said it, his ancestor Blackjack.
Knowing what we know, I hope they didn't walk those halls.
Yeah, because that would have been quite a story change.
Yeah,
I mean, quite a change.
You were wrong, Frank.
You were wrong. Well, you know,
it's a perfectly legitimate thing to wonder. It's a logical thought. However, I have never been more happy that it was so wrong.
Well, history can be so vague at times that a lot of people just take educated guesses and don't really know exactly what happened. And
I do that with more than just history.
Okay, so they're driving for their visit to Liuk, and they show the car and the drive, and then they show...
Again, I want to ride the car.
And I want to ride the horses. I want to ride the car.
Yeah. And then they show a little Claire. Or littler Claire.
A baby. A younger Claire.
Baby Claire. Yes. Baby Claire.
No, not a baby. But no, I thought this... You know, this one got a big laugh, too. Because she like...
She's lighting a cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Cigarette. Everyone went, what? And then when she handed it over, they went, ah, ha, ha, ha.
That was funny. So.
But still, she like... It looks like she inhaled it. And I'm like, well, she was probably pretty comfortable. Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, she was wandering around all over the world with this... uncle of hers.
As someone... who has, in my lifetime, smoked a cigarette, you have to inhale to light it.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to pull the flame into it. But that being said, this scene was also not enjoyed by the gentleman next to me who slept through it.
The Comic-Con attendee, who was in cosplay or no?
No, just dressed up. No, he was just smelly.
To me, it's like, why bother going to a screening?
He had a giant bag. He obviously needed a place to nap.
Hey, I had a giant bag. I had a giant bag, and I needed a place to nap. No, but his was like
one of those. I could have taken his place.
I wanted to call it a tute, like a little plastic bag.
Like a Schlaftüte.
Yeah, like a Schlaftüte.
Oh my God.
If you speak German, you'll understand the joke in that. So they are making their way to Liuk, and
they're
wandering around.
Okay, so I want to say he says, "Oh, this is probably the kitchens." And I, looking at that, I was like, "I didn't look for that later." But I know that the instant they got into that room, I went, "That's the surgery."
But you look at the look on her face as
I wrote that down.
And you're like
she's been there before.
She had this look of like, huh,
and the music also that they
this
play.
This is strange.
Like one of those like soul memory moments.
Yeah.
One of the things that she says is burying himself in the distant past gave Frank an ability to escape the recent. And many people have actually commented on this. That is his way of
dealing with his
maybe his escaping? PTSD.
Yeah, escaping.
Lord knows what he did as an MI.
Exactly.
Well, and she talks about, you know, have him being, you know, basically doing intelligence work and being in charge of sending spies out and sending men on missions and most of them not coming back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, and him having to deal with the after effects of that, oh yeah, that's, I mean.
So yeah, the whole time they're in what we believe is the surgery is just, I mean, her face is luminous. She's like a little bit of, you know, this, not awe, but this look of, whatever. Okay, and then she gets
the
table.
She turns playful and hops on the table and shows him her garters.
Downtown!
And then it was like, what I will say is they put the doing it scene here instead of at the Stones because in the book, she did it at the Stones. And,
yeah.
And that's where he made the whole, hey, you're not wearing any undergarments, Mrs. Randall.
Yeah.
And they put that in here. I'm glad they kept it because it was still a clever line.
It was interesting.
She made him do it.
I'm thinking they changed this so that people feel like they have a real intimacy.
You know what I mean? I would also like to point out that I've been lurking around online and I've been seeing people complaining about this scene, saying that, in the 40s, girls didn't do this. And I was like, correction, cavewomen did this. I believe is what I saw. And it's true. People didn't talk about
it as much.
But it doesn't mean they weren't.
Have you
doing
not
it.
Watched Masters of Sex?
I have not.
I mean, I
have.
It's a really good show.
I don't have Showtime.
Well, and
are
it's
you
not
invite me over.
You got to come over.
Okay,
and watch
come on.
It. No, and it's not the. Granted, that show isn't the 40s, you know, but still, it's in an era that anything other than like straight up sex, like missionary position, anything that diverts from that is considered lascivious and wrong.
So.
Anyway.
Agreed. It was definitely a change. And the first time I saw this, I was shocked because it was a change that we definitely noticed.
Okay, I watched this in several ways. First, I watched it on my tablet. And when I watched it on my tablet, I didn't notice that she pushed him downtown. Huh. When we went to the theater to watch it at the premiere, I was like, oh my God, I totally didn't see that before. She totally pushed him downtown.
Really? I didn't notice her pushing him.
Oh, yeah. Watch. He tried to kiss her and she goes, oh, no, no. Get down there.
So
God. He goes,
it's
How did I never notice that?
That's what I'm saying.
It's a very interesting choice of Ron's.
Yes.
That's what I thought it was.
But like I said before, I liked it
because this is such a female power show. They're trying to push a very strong female protagonist. And she's also been quoted by Mrs.
She's
Graham.
She's not afraid.
Mrs. Graham. Mrs. Graham is being, you know, sexually...
hard-headed and sexually...
Knocking her man in. Right. So she's being touted as a very sexual being.
Yeah.
Which is good for stars because they like to have the sexy show.
So then we get to Reverend Wakefield's home.
Oh my God, I love
the
him.
The Mance, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Mance.
Oh my God.
James Fleet. Perfect. And then we have Mrs. Graham.
And can I say...
Tracy Wilkinson.
I was so
brilliant.
Glad they left this in.
I recognize her, but I do recognize her. I've seen
do
her.
Do you?
I watch a lot of... British shows. BBC and Masterpiece Theater. And no, but she was excellent. She was excellent. I kind of liked, because I mean, obviously in this medium, mm-hmm. you can't go quite into, I mean, the scene in the book is quite a long scene.
Yes.
I mean, she goes into talking about working the carnivals and doing this and doing that.
She left out a lot of the, hey, it's super easy to do what I do because if you notice this, that, and the other. So a lot of the the tells she was told about were left out, so I don't know if they're going to leave them in later.
I know, that's what I'm curious about,
too. So we'll
too.
Have to see.
I'm curious if they use that later on or not. But she makes it very, I don't know, she makes it very mysterious and, like, she seems very suspicious of Claire, especially when she starts reading her hand.
It's true, and their interactions with each other, to me, made me almost uncomfortable.
I know.
Like, Claire was so uncomfortable.
And as soon as the men walk in, she pulls her hand
away.
She
was like, yo, I gotta go. And it was almost like she was like, you see in my hand that I'm a trollop, and I'm gonna go have sex with somebody else, and I'm gonna lose my husband and get married to somebody else. Like, she was like...
That's what I mean.
It was like a guilt?
In the series, in the show, it seems more serious. Whereas in the book, it's all kind of like...
It's more lighthearted.
More lighthearted and more silly. And like, this is how it's done.
No,
but,
and in the
but
book,
hey, you're not a, you know, when she talks about, well, yours is forked, it's not broken when there's two marriages. And she's like, you're not into polygamy,
right.
Are you?
But wing, can wing. I say
and it's a joke. It turns into a joke. Whereas this is like very awkward and strange.
But every time she says forked, I think she's going to curse. And I've seen it like 5 times now. And I'm just like, but yours is forked. And I keep thinking she's going to say...
Something else.
The F word. She doesn't. But I keep thinking every time it's going to change. But it doesn't.
No, it does not. And one of the things I thought was interesting, I think you guys already hit on this, but this, I won't say it's sinister, but this scene is like a little creepy town. Yeah. And I like it, but it's a little bit.
But I almost
even
feel.
If you, I think that even if you don't know what's coming, the whole feel of the scene, I think
it
that's
changes.
Why
yeah.
they did it this way.
I agree.
For all those people who are coming into this show
yes.
who have not read the books. So it's a little bit of
foreshadowing
of what's to come. And they want to give you a little bit of that uneasy feeling of what.
Oh, and Claire
What's
is very
happen?
Uneasy in this.
She is.
She's
so uneasy.
She yanks her hand away
like,
and gets out as fast as
she couldn't
she can.
Get out of there fast enough, no. honestly. She's well, like, oh, yay, the boys are here, and they're making a mess. I can leave.
Yeah. I'm curious because...
I think it's cute. You hear him like, it sounds like he's breaking stuff in the background.
Because he is, I'm sure. Men don't know how to do dishes.
And then she's like, no. Get
so
out
I wonder. I wonder what Mrs. Graham would have continued with, what she
I know.
Had said, if they had not been interrupted. Because
I would like to have my tea leaves read. Do you know anyone?
Mrs. Graham.
Other than Mrs. Graham.
She keeps giving... The reason I think she would have said something else is because, yes, Claire pulls her hand away, but they're interrupted. But she keeps looking at her. Like,
mm-hmm.
like honey,
well, because, you know, she's probably never seen anything like that before, which makes me
and
wonder...
And she's
she,
looking at her like, you're an odd duck. And, like, exactly. she's trying to still figure her out. Like, looking at her like, I don't know what to make of you.
And I'm sure Claire feels just, like, totally, like, naked about the whole thing. She's like, I feel
she's
so
like,
exposed.
I'm just trying to reconnect with my first and hopefully only
right.
husband.
Right, don't tell
and
me I'm
tell
gonna
me
have
what?
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me this
or
is all ill-fated.
Or as some people do, word.
But she says she's gonna go have a bath. A bath. I want a bath.
I want a bath, too.
But I'm sure she didn't have a real bath.
They don't show a bath.
They didn't show a bath. And Stars is real good at showing baths.
Are they?
Generally, they're not ones to shy away from.
I watch
news.
A ton of TV, and so I haven't really gotten into any other Starz shows.
Okay, if you want to know what a Starz show is generally like, please go back and find Spartacus.
That's not general. That's like way to the far,
dude. All okay. My only vivid memory of Spartacus
I've heard it's
is a guy.
No, it's
doing
awkward.
A chick.
Is it?
No, a
yes.
guy doing a chick with a guy doing him at the same
oh,
time.
Oh Lord,
that's
I don't
my memory of Spartacus.
I do. It was a master who was behind on a slave.
And he says something. something in, like, really weird, like, I'm speaking Greek talk, like...
Mean Latin?
No, but it wasn't Latin. It was phrase. The phraseology he used was so awkward. It was like, put its beep in my... Beep. I have no idea. It was strange.
Yeah, we can't use
okay,
that.
Okay, fine. My point is it was awkward.
That's awkward to watch any time. I mean, when do you sit there and watch that? I
don't. That's my only memory was
guys
a really,
do.
A really
guys,
awkward...
Guys, guys, look for that.
My
of
memory
stuff.
Was
then
a really awkward
we
time.
See her in the B&B.
Fighting
with
her hair.
Fighting with her Claire hair. And we hear our first utterance of Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ. And I have to say, it was just interesting the way she said it. How fast it was. There was not a lot of intonation about it. It's really weird for me to say.
Yeah, I have to
odd.
Say, that's honestly my only critique of...
The episode?
The episode of Claire in general and her playing that role is the way she says that.
Okay.
And is that I kept thinking it was like, Jesus H. Roosevelt, Christ, or something. I mean, there had to be some emphasis on something in the middle.
I agree
middle,
with
and,
you.
And
the
I
reason?
Was like, she rambles through it so fast. That's not how I heard it in my head.
Well, because here's the way that I thought about it, is that for me... That is her curse word.
It is.
And if I'm going to curse, I don't just like, ah, I'm cursing.
Jesus
it's like, Allah. I like, I'm guttural about it. Like, I'm like, rah! You know, I'm like, if I'm to the point that I'm going to curse, it's because it's the only way to get that frustration out of my body. And it's going to come out in a little bit more of an aggressive manner. So
it seemed too light.
Agreed. And maybe that's a British thing. Maybe it's a
I don't even
they're
think
more
it
polite
was too
when
light.
They
curse. Maybe. I don't even think it was necessarily too light. I was just the way she said it was not at all what
I had imagined it.
It's not how I say it.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who
it.
Felt that way, Ginger.
No, there are quite a few.
I was thinking that on the way over and I was thinking, that's my only real critique of like Katrina's performance at all. Like, that's my only critique of when she says that. And that's it. That's all I've got to say.
So then they go from that scene out to the outside with the ghost. With Frank.
Oh, and Frank. And I love the scene,
ghost.
Like, because as he comes up and it's raining and he sees this guy standing and he kind of gets this...
Who we don't know
who
it is.
Who we don't know who he is. And he's looking at him like, oh, that's odd. And then he looks up and sees who he's looking at.
Yep.
He sees him looking at Claire and you see his look
change.
Shift.
And then
and
also...
He just looks like, what the hell is this guy looking at my wife for?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to confront this person. And
so,
he goes up to confront him.
Can we take a moment and say, your wife says strumpet. She's doing that in front of the window.
Oh, stop.
She's fully dressed.
You don't want to know what I do in front of my windows.
Whoa. The ghost also changes his position. Like, he's standing there looking.
And you never
like,
see his face.
No, you never see his face. But you see him in the back. And you see the tartan. And
you see
the hat thing.
The bonnet.
The beanie bonnet. And then he kind of leans up against the thing he's against. And then...
You just call
he
Frank.
Shifts and pulls away from him.
Yeah, exactly. And he walks around him, through him.
And he turns away
and he's
from
gone.
Him.
And he's
so
gone.
So that we don't see his face.
Exactly.
Which is
that's
important
true.
Because
we don't know who
we
it
don't
is.
Want the foreshadowing that aggressive, if you will. We don't need to know that
all
much
all you see
going
is the
in.
Dunn bonnet.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's a brown bonnet. Anyway,
you
that's
tell
all
it
I'm...
was brown. It looked kind of blue.
It's grayish.
No, it looks grayish brown.
So then we are into the...
You saw it in the flashes of the
back
lightning.
To the B&B. I love Claire's nightgown. Beautiful.
Yes.
And all the... I guess I remember the candles from the book. But,
well, she's
yeah,
she said she was
the
trying to get...
The power went out. She had
yeah,
to light...
Yeah.
She had to...
She was trying to get them all lit before he got back.
So...
And she says, you look like you've seen a ghost.
And during this scene where Frank is telling her, I think I may have. And I actually... A lot of people have a lot of feelings about this and take...
That's a generous way to say it.
I know.
I have a lot of feelings.
Take issue
lots
with
of
Frank.
Feelings.
Take issue with Frank... Trying to not blame her, but basically almost accusing her of adultery, but not accusing her, kind of saying, I understand if you did, which some people would take as an accusation. And
see,
I've even
you know,
read that
when I read the
it's
book,
from guilt.
When I read the book, I felt it was from guilt. That was my original instinct, although I've heard that Diana corrects that when people say that. That I've heard that Diana says flat out, I've never said he cheated on her. I've never said that. So I don't know. But to me, in the book, it makes me feel like the way he says it in the book, it makes me feel like, well, he is kind of accusatory and he is. But in the show, the way he says it and the way he talks to her, it's so gentle the way he
it is.
Says it.
It is.
That it does come off sounding like, I love you so much that it really doesn't matter either
exactly.
way. And I just want you to know that if something did happen, I don't care. I will
exactly.
still love you.
That's true.
Which is another kind of foreshadowing.
I know we're all women here. But as a woman, if some dude said that to me, I'd be like, what are you implying?
Well, and that's how she takes it.
Exactly. And I think rightly so, because I'd be like, okay, what have I done in the time that we've been together that would indicate that I've been like,
they were
effing around on you?
They were apart for 5 years.
And I really feel...
And so that's, I think, why he says the whole, look, I would, it's totally understandable in the situation that we were in. It was totally understandable if something happened.
I really feel for Frank in this
scene.
But
why bring that up? Like, why even say that?
You know what I mean?
Because it's a, sure it's a little flicker of jealousy that comes up.
I can see that.
Because he sees this man standing out there watching her, and he thinks, he's sitting there racking his brain.
But
like,
the dude disappears!
Yeah, I know. But in the back of his mind, he, you know, some people can't, when they see things like that, they don't come to terms with it, so they try to make...
They rationalize,
and they try to think, well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that, maybe it was some guy that was trying to look for my wife, that he was trying to reconnect with her. That's all I think it was.
He doesn't know what just happened down there, and he's just trying to...
Well, and he's...
Claire talks a lot about, after she goes through the stones, the whole logical mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's trying to think, what the hell was this? Someone just went...
His logical mind
me.
Is trying to...
Connect
rationalize.
Some dots. Exactly.
Yes.
And that would make sense, even though it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
He's like, I could actually understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for this, for him and this entire scene.
But going, I mean, I know we don't want to talk about further books.
No, we don't.
But I find this whole conversation, having read all the further books, a little ironic.
Hmm. Okay, well, we'll have to leave it at that, because...
Okay. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go any further on
so
it.
So then he apologizes, and she accepts his apology, and they make love again. And it's still extremely tasteful, 4 stars. And that's had a little bit of Russia in there.
Taste of full sauce?
I think. All right.
So that
Junior,
means...
it's okay. Take a breath.
I'm not even drinking, you guys, and they are.
Summer and I are drinking.
All right, so
Ginger's not.
That being said...
She can't even speak.
Given the
she's
fact
sober.
That he's literally just, like, kind of insulted her honor, this is the most sex we've seen in the course of the episode.
That's
and
true.
The most sex we see in the course of the episode.
And you don't
and
really
it's
see that much. It's a
oh,
really
no, it's
dim
very
lighting.
Tasteful.
It's candle lit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't see much. I mean, you see a little bit more
it's
Katrina
still,
than you see of him.
You see booty and booby.
Yeah. No, it's still okay. Tasteful in regards to stars.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Now, stars, I believe that all holds should not be barred. What's the word I'm looking for? Usually it's all holds barred, but the opposite of that.
No holds barred.
No holds barred. Thank you. No holds barred once Jamie gets involved. I think that once,
oh, and I don't
once
think it
that
will.
Pair gets together, they
think,
need to just be raw.
I don't think they'll hold back.
And that'll be...
Okay. I don't think they'll hold back.
Probably not. Okay, so...
I think they're also maybe trying to portray their relationship as being this...
Pure.
More of a...
Not pure, but...
More of a... Not as passionate?
No, I can go
no,
with that.
I would agree with
not
that.
Not as passionate as maybe...
Loving,
what happens later?
A little
very
more
loving,
gentle,
caring, gentle.
Caring, yeah.
Which is why
which
Jamie
is what
and
Frank
Claire
is.
Need to be straight up animalistic.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Let's stop. We'll go into that later.
So I thought it was interesting in the voiceover that she says that sex was their bridge back to one another. But me, Ginger, not the voiceover, I wonder if that was mostly the case because it was Claire's bridge.
Yes.
Because she's a very earthly, sensual
sexual
woman,
being.
Sexual being, and we know from the books, okay, this is not a spoiler as to what happened, like, individual events, but we know from the book that it's sex is a hugely important part of hers and Jamie's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm thinking, was it their bridge because it was a mutual bridge? I'm sure, not that he's saying no.
He's a guy. We literally just discussed this.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm wondering
guys
if
guys take
a,
it whenever it's offered, basically.
I'm wondering if it's a bridge because it's Claire's bridge.
Well,
not that a guy will say no.
Well, this is all from her point of view.
But if you
that's
notice,
true.
If you
so,
notice, every
true.
Time things got strange between the two of them, she's like,
boots.
Let's do it. Every time words got a little awkward, she's mm-hmm. like, let's do it. Every time he got a little emotional, she's like, let's do it.
No, that's true. So far
so
as
this
the
is,
show,
I would
is.
Agree. This is her bridge.
No, that's true.
Let
I
me,
think,
agree
I think
with
you're
you.
Probably right.
Let me shut you up with a kiss.
Please don't. Yeah.
Some more stuff.
Are you talking to me right
no,
now?
No, I'm talking
okay.
about...
I'm really confused.
I don't want to watch that.
Claire,
okay?
Claire
can I just
Frank.
Say that right now? I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to be a part of it.
So I know it's not the Jamie and Claire theme, which comes in later.
Yes.
But I love the music during their lovemaking scene. It's very tender.
The
and
music
I think it
throughout
ends,
the whole
I know.
It's really good.
And that's what we haven't... Well, we haven't watched more than
Well,
no, we haven't watched more than one. The opening sequence, the opening song is, I love it.
Okay, it's so haunting. I'm going to put this out there. I know that Ron Moore has a very long history with Bear McCreary. I personally do not have a long history with Bear McCreary. This is my first introduction to Bear McCreary, and so far everything that I have experienced that he has provided has been amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was astounding, that performance.
As three people with musical backgrounds, are speaking.
Yes,
you know
that is true.
We're not like just random Joe Schmoes off the street. We've got
extensive backgrounds, training, and degrees. So
yes, so there you go.
We'll say that much.
Yeah.
And performancing.
They're all different.
That's a word. Performing again.
It's not.
You're the one who hasn't been drinking.
Performing.
That being said, we have three very different backgrounds in music. But that being said,
we all have very strong opinions on musicality.
His orchestrations of everything are very. I don't know. It evokes emotion. It evokes feeling.
I feel when he plays.
That's
the whole point, is to feel something.
Which is, you know, bully for Bear McCreary.
So I love this music, and when it ends, when it kind of fades off into the dark or whatever, it ends, it was either a clarinet or an oboe, and I don't know what it was, but it was just, it's just so gentle.
Yeah.
And so beautiful.
But again, with the whole making sure you get the feel of their relationship.
Yes.
Before the series moves on.
And there probably is not a Frank and Claire theme.
But Bear mentioned a Jamie and Claire.
Absolutely.
Theme.
And actually, if you listen to...
They do play it in this episode.
I know. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
and I've already said this.
Because he played it.
He played it for us at
the
premiere.
Well, screw you all, because I didn't hear it.
The Jamie and Claire theme, which is gorgeous. Like, 90% of it is in a minor key.
It is.
And you're like... This is sad.
But it's true because
hold on.
Love
and
is
Frank,
so, like,
hold on, please.
Tragic in so many ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on, caller.
Okay, all right, I'm holding.
Frank and Claire, and even if it's not a theme, the music played during the lovemaking is not minor. The thing about major, even if it's not, then ta-da, you know, beautiful. The thing about major is that it's safe, it's pretty, and it's comfortable. It's
but
comfortable.
But
minor,
when you think about
it,
though,
is it in D minor?
And I don't know.
It's the saddest of all keys. But the thing is that when you think about Jamie and Claire, it's that their love is always tempered by something that is of what's lost.
Yeah.
At least for Claire. Because
And we can't say too much about it.
No, of course.
There's always some loss there.
It's never... There's some loss. So by... Well...
Anyway.
Yeah. I know you're trying so desperately not to spoil. And then as soon as, like, they're in their afterglow, it's immediate to, hey, let's set an alarm so that we can go watch the
and
witches.
She's like, and she was like,
what?
Do we have to?
The dancing druid scene is gorgeous.
No,
it's
graceful.
So
and I want to say,
oh,
it's a combination
the
of
music?
The lights.
Oh, the lighting
the music,
was astounding.
And
costumes?
That first shot they do, the overhead shot of the music, right?
The swirly.
As it builds.
Yeah.
I literally am getting
you
it
get
now.
Chill bumps.
I get chill bumps on my entire body and they don't go away. But it's like between the music
and the notes when
the
sun first comes
else.
Up are just and the choir, the choir
and
choir
the look and the look on Claire's face when the sun starts to come up. She looks around like,
what the heck?
She's like, did they make that happen?
Did they make
that?
Yeah,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah.
That's kind of the look she has, like,
and the voiceover that
going
I had
on
a feeling that I shouldn't be here or be observing this.
Correct.
But this entire sequence is beautiful.
No, I loved it. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day, but she was watching it because, you know, it's free in the United States right now. And she was like, kind of like sending me little text messages. And I was like, hey, go ahead and live text me right now because it wasn't tweeting. But live text me. She was like, okay. So she would send me little texts back and forth. And this was one of the scenes that we texted heavily back and forth during because she was saying how it was a combination of everything. It was the music. It was the visuals. It was everything together worked so perfectly that it made you literally want to be there dancing.
So after the sun comes up and all the little druids disperse.
I did feel sad. Like, they did show the druid that came back, but they didn't show her smoking a cigarette. Like, for some reason, that image of her sitting and smoking a cigarette and watching just the sunrise and everything was so,
chilling.
Like,
made it all,
she
it all kind of, like,
she was in no rush.
Come back down
before
earth.
Someone comes back.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken. Claire, everybody disperses.
Frank goes to look at the stones. Claire sees these little flowers.
Oh, she sees the flowers.
And she touches them, or at least she fingers them. But she is wearing...
Seriously, though.
She's wearing gloves.
But
so, hold on.
That's irrelevant.
No, it's not. We don't know this. That's maybe
we
it
don't
is.
Know if that has.
We don't know. The point is, they just had Halloween, right?
Yes.
The stones should be frying her brain right now.
That's kind of what I thought too.
No, here's the thing: the flowers is not what set it off. So
I understand
the
that.
Is not the issue.
No,
doesn't matter.
No,
the point
not.
Is
being near the stones. In the book, though,
yes.
In the book, does she mention like the buzzing noise?
I don't remember.
Afterwards,
here's
the thing, though. You don't know how long it took for the spell they cast in their dancing to take effect. It may have taken a whole day.
The spell has nothing to do with her going through the stones.
It doesn't, but the stones making all the noise, if they didn't make the noise the day before, I'm pretty sure a pair of gloves isn't what kept her from hearing the stones. Come on,
no,
guys.
Hold on. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't know where I'm going with this, so please. It's just an observation. She's there on this magical, mystical night.
No, I noticed the gloves, too, and I thought maybe they'd try to use that as a reasoning for her.
That's what I'm saying. For the show. Not for the book. For the show. She's there with Frank or without Frank, with all these people. Shouldn't have mattered. If it's on this big night of all nights,
it should have been a sound. Do you guys remember, though, in the book, when they first come to see the stones and they're walking around looking at stuff?
I don't remember it making noise.
I don't think she hears any
hear
noise.
Them. No, she
okay.
didn't
until
hear
the next
so just
day.
The fact, my thought on the whole subject was that, you know, the dancing and the everything else that happened was the first step in what opened the stones to be able to be traveled through. Now, granted, it's been clear that
you don't need that.
That she doesn't need that. She doesn't need that. However, I would say that the stones are louder on those days to her.
Well, just like they talk about this.
Except that I don't understand
just like
why
they talk about gemstones.
Before there.
Just
yeah.
like they talk about.
She didn't
there's
need
no
those
real.
Either.
Nobody knows exactly how they work or why they work or whatever.
But they seem
all
to
it
be
is
a little
speculation,
bit protective.
But they seem. Yeah.
So the whole point about the gloves is that it's just an observation. There's no sound. She goes near them. She doesn't touch them or pick them, but she has gloves on when she fingers them or does whatever. There's no sound from the stone. And then the next scene is they're back at their bed and breakfast, and mm-hmm. she's in her beautiful ivory shift dress. And mm-hmm. I just love this because she has a shift.
Yes. Technically, she has a slip underneath.
She does.
Yes.
And that being said, it's like seeing the scene and knowing when she kisses him.
It's
this
very
is the
sad.
Last
and they slow
time.
It down. They slow it down.
I do.
And she
very
kisses
sad.
Him a second time.
That and she pulls him back. She,
yeah. yeah. And then when as she lets him go,
it
slows all,
down.
It slows down like.
And she
soak
looks
it
like
in.
She
loves
him.
And I thought to myself.
She does love him.
I thought to myself, at least she had that going into it, you know, as much
but,
as
but it's like anything
that.
Else, though, when you lose someone, it's like how, when you look back and think, oh my gosh, that was the last moment I was going
to
see them.
And then after
it shifts
to the scene where she's getting out of the car, ladies. It is here. And this, I kept thinking, here it comes. There's no going back now.
Yeah.
I was like, wee.
Yeah.
I was excited.
You just want to get to Jamie.
Dude, I just want to... That is, like, the story of my life. I just want to get to Jamie.
Yeah.
So she walks up that path.
Okay,
I want
to point out that that tree is important. So. The cut-down tree.
Oh, I see.
Oh, because it's
because they show it full. Being a real, actual tree. Later.
Okay. So she walks up to the stones, looking around, and there's, I mean, a tiny, maybe itty-bitty bit of a breeze, but nothing really... huge. I mean, there is a breeze, but nothing really huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Her hair's moving a little bit. So she now has no gloves on, and she is bending over. She picks a flower, puts it into her hanky, and then the wind picks up. And this is what I think Meryl was saying, or said the one time that it was kind of spooky. Someone asked her, was there any kind of, like, woo-woo moments? And I think she mentioned that moment. And Claire walks to the central stone.
Are these stones real stones?
No,
not
all of them.
I don't think so.
Or did they make them and put them inside?
I know that they had a lot of them in their, like, soundstage.
Oh, sorry.
Because they had pictures of Diana Gabaldon standing next to them. So I know that not all of them are real. I'm not saying... I cannot verify 100% that they are all fabricated, but some of them are fabricated.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
So... It is now different than the book, right?
I already passed it.
But I thought it is.
It's different in the book. In the book, it's going through a cleft, right? Yes.
Yes.
Here, it's literally, and Summer had to actually draw my attention to it. I didn't realize it because I was just thinking, stones, ah! She's not walking through. She's just touching one. But it's the center
stone.
It is the
center
and
stone.
And the
center
one that they're dancing around, and then they're doing the dancing part. So
now,
thank you, Summer.
This was the scene that Meryl talked about the wind coming up all on exactly. its own and mm-hmm. in a very spooky exactly. manner.
That's what I said that.
Every time they filmed that scene.
You weren't super specific on that, so I wanted to
I said when she was bending over the flowers, the wind comes up, and Meryl was talking about how spooky that was.
Right, but the wind came up on its own. It was not a man-made
no,
wind.
No, and she said that time they shot that scene, every take,
it was right there.
The yeah. wind came up every time correct. At that moment. Which was interesting.
Which probably was really cost efficient for them to not need a wind machine.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I didn't think they were going for
because
it.
Because I liked the view it gave, the image it gave nice. with that ominous kind of, oh, the wind's coming. Must mm-hmm. be a storm.
And so she goes to the Thunderstone, and I thought it was interesting how Ron dealt with the time travel. There was a lot of, this is probably one of the biggest
There's
questions
a lot of
that
speculation.
People, exactly, before, and they wouldn't tell us, which, you know, thank goodness. I thought it was very interesting how they did it. The only thing I have to say is not the how, but how good she looks afterwards. Now, we don't know how long she was asleep or knocked out. Homegirl looked beautiful.
I'm so yeah. full of feelings. Like, there's
Talk
so
about
many,
a little
like,
bit of it.
Like, good and bad, because part of me feels like, cop out, because he didn't address it. He didn't address it by not doing anything with it. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to give this impression of what she says it felt like, mm-hmm. without actually doing it. So part of me felt like it was a little bit of a cop out, but part of me felt like anything else would have been super cheesy.
Hokey. Yeah.
So I get it, but I still
Everything
felt like it was a little bit
Everything else they would
out.
Have fallen short.
You know, what I think is if they had done the exact same thing as far as nothing and showing her touch it, even not going through the stones, right? Just showing her touch it and then waking up. If the in-between part, if they had even used the voiceover and I don't know what kind of visual because you got to have a visual, but if they had even used the voiceover with a similar description from the book, the chaos screaming, because this description was even different than in the book, which is totally fine.
It was just like nothing.
It was
like they addressed it by not addressing it.
They addressed it.
Which was a choice. It was totally a choice. I just felt like it was a choice to not make a choice, and it's maybe not where I would have gone. But again, I'm not an award-winning filmmaker.
Like I said, I really think that anything else would have fallen short. And there really, I think it was not... There's nothing you could have shown because it's not
describable. There's no way. Exactly.
And
unless
so,
you're reading.
And so...
You're exactly right,
Lenny. They give a description well, that then the closest she ever felt to that was this car accident.
So
she
are
was
we
in.
Blaming this on Diana Gabaldon then for saying it was indescribable?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. It's her fault.
All right. Well, then this is all on Diana Gabaldon that we got no description.
Yeah.
No visual description. For real.
But... It was definitely a choice.
It was
I
a
respect
choice.
The choice. I actually don't mind that so much. I'm just confused. You can make a choice of whatever you want to have the
Agreed.
How.
Agreed.
Whatever that may be, she should have been messed up when she woke up. Or, you know, not like maybe not black and blue, but she looked perfect. And
yeah.
I'm not saying that she should have looked, you know, black and blue or anything.
But if you listen to the descriptions of...
It's hell.
In successive books, not just in this book, but it sounds like it's horrific.
She's being torn apart from the inside out.
That you would think that at least with the coming to of it, like even if you pass out from
yeah.
the agony of it,
yeah.
like you would
You'd
come,
wake
you
up
would come
like,
to being like, what the F was that?
Exactly. And she
you
didn't
know, and
seem,
she just kind of
just didn't
like,
seem affected
that,
that
was
much.
A lovely nap.
She seemed a little confused though. Because she's like kind of, she looks at the stones and she's kind of wobbly looking and she kind of stumbles over to where the car is and she's like, what the heck? It's not here.
And I
and
want
she stumbles back
that
through
being
the other
said,
way.
I want to point out that her looks of confusion were amazing.
Like, she gets good face.
Her looks when she was, and it's not even just in this part where she's, you know, kind of rambling around the countryside, but even later when she gets dumped off the horse and kind of by Jane
I love that.
Sent off.
I
like, she has
it.
These looks on her face where she's like, where the F am I? I don't know what's going
what
on.
Just
that
happened.
Were so believable, and then when she did her interview later, she was like, those looks of confusion were not faked. She's like, I had no idea what was going
she
on.
She said that?
She did.
I
when
missed
we were
that
in
interview.
Los Angeles, yeah.
How did
San Diego.
Oh.
It was so funny.
Wait, San Diego, you're hurting my head now, girl.
Okay. So funny.
So anyway, so she gets up, she's looking around, she can't find the car, she's out of sorts, and she's confused.
Yeah.
And
I think you're right.
Then she goes and she tumbles down a hill.
Stumbles.
And
she
falls
down a hill.
And she, like, I think that's where she loses the belt. Well, she stumbles down
I
the
mean,
hill,
I'm
though.
I'm assuming
and then her
that
belt
was wondering, but it was just gone.
Well, but both were, we're gone. And,
then the belt, she's got splotches of dirt all over her after that. And then the guy, the English soldier fires at her. Yeah. And that's when she's saying, I kept thinking this was just some sort of play acting, but actors don't use live rounds. And they fire at her. And she ducks. And then she takes off again. And that's like when you notice she has no belt. She's filthy now. And then shortly after that, she runs into Blackjack.
Yes, but now back to the falling, which we believe is, first of all, the fall makes perfect sense as she's trying to escape this thing, whatever it is. But also, it's a convenient way for her to lose the stuff.
Yeah.
And the belt is not that big of a deal, although it definitely could have had different, the quality, the type of belt it was, it could have gotten in trouble. But that watch could have been witchcraft material. I mean, come on. That could have been dangerous for her to be found with the watch.
Oh, I didn't even think about her having a watch. So the soldier fires at her, and I jumped like several inches off the chair, and I was like, "Holy crap!" That just scared the crap out of me. And someone's like, "It freaks me out every time." So she runs into Blackjack.
Oh, and it's perfect.
And he looks her up and down like she's.
He does, and I love it because it's like, "You strumpet, what are you?" You know, you can totally tell he thinks she's
like a whore, as Merton would say.
And yeah, and he's, you know, he looks a little disheveled, like he's been in the stramish, whatever it is you want to call it.
All right, good girl, you use that Scottish word, girl. You know,
he's
go
having
for
a
it.
little sip of water.
You know, he's getting a drink of water,
splashing
like
his face.
Recuperating from the little skirmish that they've just had.
Yep.
And the look he gives her, just like he is taking her measure.
It's true, but they did a really good job of making him, I mean, obviously, he looks like Frank. It's the same freaking actor. But making him look like Frank without making him look like Frank. Like,
yeah.
To the point that you can see
and
the
And I felt so bad
yes.
for her.
Yes.
In that he moment, I felt really bad for her because she goes, Frank, what are you doing here? And you're like,
not.
And then she realizes it's not Frank. She looks at him and he says his name and he announces himself to her. And she just, like, looks at him and bolts.
Right. And can
and
I
he's
say
like,
how quickly that escalated?
How
he
did that?
He
jumped right
so
off
fast. Because he's a mean turdo. So anyway, because
he responds to things that are fleeing.
That's true. Hello,
like a predator.
Predator. We know he has a wig. Because he said in some interview somewhere, you know, they just put that wig on and blah, blah, blah. So I thought, okay, we know he has a wig. I looked at him and yes, he looks like a little tanner. Because one of the things, at least later on, he's a soldier, so he's outdoors a lot more. Frank is a scholar. He's inside. He's not that tan. So I know that that's talked to
he
at least,
looks
at least
more
in the books.
Tan.
He looks more tan.
Darker complexion.
Exactly. But he also, there's something about the way he holds his face or his jaw looks a little bit different. But also, I think they filled in or gave him...
Darker eyebrows.
Yes!
The way he holds his jaw. It's like he's more... And the way he holds his posture, too.
Yes.
He's more...
British.
Upright. No, it's more stiff. Yeah, not like he's got something up his butt. But like
How
he's a soldier.
How many fingers are you going to use, Ginger?
Anyway, but he looks like a soldier. He stands more like a soldier. His jaw's more clenched or something. Like, there's more tension in him.
Yeah, and the look on his face, he, like, she flees. And literally,
you know,
the thought that jumped in my mind when he, like, grabs his sword off the ground and carries it, because it's not on him, it's on the ground. He picks up his sword, and the look on his face is like, not so fast, you little woman. I mean, so literally, like, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm getting that.
Yeah. No. He's definitely predatory, and this is like I think the first glimpse you get of that.
Mm-hmm.
That he's something not only is fleeing from him, but also her fear. He can probably I don't know like he senses her fear, and he's getting a kick out of it. You know, because the look on his face is so smug. You know, it's like, I've got a sword, and you're just a woman, and what the heck are you going to do?
I'm curious,
you know,
what was he doing at the button, though? What was he doing there?
He was drinking water.
He was drinking water.
Splashing his face. The thing that I enjoyed...
He had blood on his face, if you looked.
Yeah, he was washing himself.
I don't know if fun is really the right word. The fun part for me, I'm going to say it anyway, was enjoying in Katrina's performance how she went from
Frank?
Just full-on aggressive as far as the character. Oh, yeah. To all of a sudden, when he's got her up against the wall, she goes from being like... Okay, first of all, that cracked me up when she was like, Frank, he's a teacher. And all of a sudden she goes, she's like, like her breathing changes when he's got that sword up against her. Like her whole breathing and demeanor changes when he's like basically threatening her. Because even, I think in the beginning she could tell he was a totally different animal than Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what really you know,
clued her in
that it was not Frank, just because of his demeanor, and I think that she could sense that this was definitely a different energy altogether. But her breathing fully changed. Mm-hmm. Like, it went from I'm like cool and breathing to just like, it was like, I'm gonna die.
And then he was literally about to rape her.
Yes.
And I thought, and this is what I wrote in my notes. Funny that, keeping with DG's, Diana Gabaldon's, description of Murta, he jumps out of a tree or something, or jumps down from something. She calls him Simeon, an ape, and
like a
monkey-like. And I thought, it was so funny, he jumps down, like, from a tree.
Like a monkey, yeah.
And rescues her.
And then knocks
her out.
Well, he knocks Blackjack out first.
Oh, he saves her from Blackjack.
And then he says, come on, I don't even know what he's saying, or if it's in Scottish. He's saying,
probably, come with me.
And I meant Gaelic. But that phrase is uttered at least twice. He says it to her a couple of times, and then it's said again later on when they're leaving.
Either way, the hand signals he's gesturing to her is, come on, let's go.
Yes.
And so she goes with him, because she figures, well, whatever I'm leaving behind is worse than
what
this guy.
At least he hasn't tried to strip me naked and
rape
me on the floor.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up. It is said more than once that Monkey Man's stanky.
Yeah.
It's true. That actually is what I believe woke her up.
Maybe
she woke up to the smell.
So I love.
Like, I kept trying to convince myself that this was a dream, that this wasn't real. But his stench made me realize
it was
this
real.
This was real.
She said, "Yeah, that was a voiceover.
It was the
so
stench."
I love the entire. And then they go to the Crofter's cottage, and I love this was
all first meet Jamie.
Hey, but it's
so Jamie and Claire. First see each other, and she's trying to, at the beginning, trying to stay off to the sides, out
exactly,
of the way. She's
exactly.
trying her best,
but
she sees the guys in pain.
I love the peanut gallery. They're just all looking at her like, who is this person? And they're saying, is she a hoot? And I just, the word,
hoot. And I'm debating over whether
and
she was
saying,
or wasn't she wasn't.
Hood.
And Dougal, hood. It's funny, I like how Dougal tries to step in and tries to, like, calmly ask her and try
it's
to say,
true.
So,
what's
your
name?
Are
you
exactly?
Are
you? What's
well,
your
what's
name?
Lovely about it is that he's like, I'd stake my whatever he said on the fact that I don't believe she's a whore.
Yeah,
that's true.
So he had her back. He's like, you know, she's a little wonky.
Yeah, she's different.
But I'd be willing to bet my everything on the fact that she's maybe not
a
whore.
So when he's sitting there with his shoulder,
that was
so disgusting.
Oh my god!
With his shoulder out of joint,
his
shoulder out of socket.
Now, see, I've never seen one, so it may look exactly like that.
I don't know,
but
it was
disgusting. Before she does it, she's like approaching him to do it.
Well, she's trying to stay out of the way the whole time, and trying to just be like,
she's like, don't.
I gotta just shut your mouth. Don't get involved. Don't get involved.
Exactly.
And then she sees them reaching for his arm, like, well, we're just gonna force it back in. And the whole thing.
I love the war.
The
war inside of her between doing the right thing and being a nurse.
But she's thinking, I ought to just stay out of this because the search parties that Frank is gonna get going are gonna be here soon.
Yeah.
And stay out of
she's
the way.
She's still kind of in denial.
She is.
She's still kind of in denial. And then when she jumps in. And she's talking to Jamie, and she says, it's okay, I'm a nurse. And he looks at her chest.
Exactly.
I'm not a wet nurse.
I like how they address that, because in the books...
In the books,
everybody's
looking
at her.
Everybody in the whole cabin looks at her
like...
Well,
not only that,
what
but
that
they
have
actually
to do with
say that. Like, they're like, oh,
yeah.
I don't know,
how
wet
is that
going to
help? How's a wet nurse going to help you?
But I like how
they
kind of made it succinct and, like, pushed through.
And address it all really quickly.
Yeah.
No, I like that, too.
And so Jamie, even as she's, like... He's in pain and she's about to help him. He's kind of making goo-goo eyes at her. Especially afterwards and he's out of pain. He's like,
hey, that was pretty amazing.
Hold on. Exactly. And then their theme plays. I love their theme.
It does. As
it
they're
does.
Riding away from
well,
the
Well, on the whole
cottage.
Horsey time is that.
Yeah.
So by using the view before they leave, by using the view of Inverness at night, which was our logo until 2 days ago, Ron cleverly brought Claire to the realization that she was no longer in the 20th century before the end of episode one, which is pretty good. A very smart idea.
Who was it in the cabin, though, that when she's like, fetch me this.
Angus.
I was like, listen to her. Fetch me this.
This.
And Dougal's like, give her your... Do it. He's all, do what she said. I like that right away Dougal knows that she knows what she's talking about.
Oh, okay.
I like that he recognizes that in Claire. So anyway, after that, they get ready to get on the horses. The
well,
beautiful,
I love the weather.
Horses.
They did not have to do anything. That was just there for them.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Scotland.
Yeah.
All the rain. So the Jamie and Claire theme is played during the entire horseback riding time. And let me say, this was endless. I know it was only probably like 30 seconds to like a minute and a half, but it was freaking endless.
It wasn't very long at all. So
but
they're riding.
I would
and she talks about, what's it called? The Cock Mountain, whatever?
Cock Mountain.
Cock.
Cock Mountain.
I can't ever say that.
Cock Mountain.
Cock Mountain.
Nomen.
Cocknom.
She still can't say it. Oh my God.
I can't ever say it.
Okay. Cocknomen. The rooster. The rooster mountain.
The rooster mountain. That's all I can think of. Is it looks like a rooster tail. Anyway, when they get to that and she says the whole thing to Jamie about the English doing, what do you call them, like... Oh, ambushes.
Yes. Okay.
And he goes and tells Dougal. And I like how their whole interaction is in Gaelic.
Yes. Okay.
And even though it's in Gaelic, you can tell Jamie's saying, look, she just told me
this. Do you really want to let a chance? What if she's right?
What if she's right?
Yeah, don't take a chance.
Don't take a chance. Let's do it. And then he, like, out of nowhere, dumps her in the bushes.
That was which really, was perfect. Really it was funny. Just like the book. Yeah. I loved it.
Okay, so the only thing I'm going to say about that whole interaction, and it's not even their interaction, it was the flashback thing. My only problem with that flashback was that it was within the same episode. I remembered that interaction. I didn't need you to show me their interaction again with Frank. They literally showed that thing twice in the same hour.
It's interesting. I see what you're saying.
It wasn't necessary.
Yeah, that's true.
I get it, because they're setting a tone for how they're going to continue, so I get that, but for me as a viewer, it wasn't necessary.
So, they already touched on this, but I have to say again, because I'm trying to go in order of my notes as well, mm-hmm. that I love it when Jamie throws her off the horse, because it's just like in the books, and he's like, okay, he's like, boom, hide yourself.
Well, he didn't even, like, say anything. Like, there he didn't no even, like, say,
he says, hide yourself. He says, hide yourself.
Well, he doesn't give her any, like, clue that he's about to dump her in the bushes.
You're right.
He just dumps her. And
if
then
he does,
says,
it's in Gaelic.
Or
Gaelic.
Anyway. Well, Dougal runs up and starts yelling something, and then he dumps her, and then, like, she's on her own. And she thinks, this is my chance.
Yep.
And she takes off running.
Oh, yeah.
While the skirmish.
Exactly. And this she's is, dumped, and she's like, oh, where, I can get away.
And if we saw confused looks on her face when she was racing looking for her car, this is, like, 100 times better/worse, because as she's running through the thickets and the meadows and whatnot looking for Pregnadoon, she's got this look on her face.
You said that very well.
Thank you.
It's beautiful.
It's my skinny girl Cosmo. So this, it's your fault. Okay.
Yes, it is.
So she's running around, like, literally the looks of, like, panic and, like, where the F am I? We're so,
which,
like,
way do I run? Do I run this way?
They
no,
were
do
so
I run that way?
Honest. Like, the looks on her face where she's like, I'm going to keep running, but I have no idea where I am. We're so, like, poignant
lost,
and, like, honest that I felt as lost. Like, I thought they were so appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so well done. Like,
mm-hmm.
whatever they did to get her in that headspace, even if it was, hey, this is the first day we're filming, run, she totally got it. Like, I was actually, half cracking up when I saw them, because I was like, oh, the looks on her face are so, like, awesome.
And then when he finds her.
Oh my gosh. Can I say this whole interaction? Not that he didn't look nice before.
Even with the
blood on
his face.
He is sexy time.
Especially with the blood on his face.
Like,
This is what I wrote. Wow, is that sexy when Jamie throws a leg over the horse and jumps down without using his hands and just is like,
how could he not?
Swaggers
over to her.
He had to not use his hands because he's very injured.
Yeah.
Still, I give a good effect.
He's playing it all.
I love his accent. It's very musical. Oh my gosh.
Especially if he's favoring
Tobias who?
Exactly. I felt that way.
No, and if you're favoring an arm and you want to dismount, that's the easiest way to dismount. Because you just throw your leg over the pommel and then you slide off like a slide. And
for the record, and Lene will back me up on this, that is not how I exit a horse.
No.
You better not enter a horse. You mean dismount? Lene can back me up. Summer, be silent. No one in this room has ever entered a horse. And if they have, we're keeping that in the closet.
Yes.
Okay. Dismount. I'm sorry.
Dismount.
Okay.
This is what happens when you do a discussion with
wine. Exit is
when
you leave a room, okay?
But you're still in a room. You have to be in something to exit.
Yeah, thank you.
God, I'm sorry,
anyway,
guys.
So he dismounts. He swaggers over. And he basically tells her, you're coming with me, or else I'll throw you over my shoulder.
Look, for the record, when I dismount a horse, I swagger only because my hips are sore.
But holy moly, this entire... I think, honestly, outside of the stuff with Tobias, because I'm a huge Tobias fan, I think this is my favorite scene of the episode.
Dude,
this is...
The more
he's
blood
so crazy
he's
sexy.
Covered in, the hotter he gets.
He looks so I love good. His accent. Someone made a comment somewhere that the Highland is very musical. Very,
it's
very lilty.
Has made that statement.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he has. And I love it. I put the quote, well, then I suppose that means you're coming with me. And I vote, love this. I mean, the whole thing is, he has this giant smirk on his face the entire time.
He's just so smug.
When she, the moment he falls off the horse and that scene with her doctoring him, asking for methylene and iodine, all this stuff, iodine. And the look on the Highlander's face is like, what the heck? This was, I think, Claire's best scene.
Yeah.
Claire's best scene because this is quintessential Claire.
Yeah.
Strong, no-nonsense, medical expert,
I have to say, so yes, he falls off the horse. Stop. Yeah, you saw stars. I'm jealous. Shut up. Don't rub it in anymore. Here's a lemon. Okay. Rub juice in my paper.
Your
in my
wounds. Wounds.
Your
wounds.
Your paper wounds. Paper
stop
wounds.
Showing
my
your
paper
pits.
Cut wounds.
Speaking of pits, I think we got a quick glance. It was in Candlelight, but didn't we get a quick glance of Claire's pits in the love scene with Tobias?
Dude,
we
did. Wasn't even paying attention. We got a glimpse of all of her.
We got a glimpse of all of her. Stuff, like her knee up around her earlobe. I mean, there was lots of things we saw in that love scene.
Yeah,
not a ton. We saw some booty and some booty and some knee. We didn't see the arrangement.
No. I think that's a good thing.
I think they're saving the arrangement.
Like it's a bouquet of
flowers. It is. It's special for Jamie. Stop it. They're saving the boutonniere for later. Did you say boutonniere?
Oh, summer.
I just got boutonniere. I got the vision of like a bouquet of flowers.
It's
like
a nosegay. Forget me not.
Anyway,
so as we
she's tending to him on the ground, and she's cursing up the Scotsmen standing around, and their reactions to her cursing.
Oh
my gosh! And they're all just like looking at her like,
what is Dougal?
And was it Dougal's line again? Or was
it was Dougal's line? He was like, I've never heard a woman speak with that.
No, but what's his name?
Angus was the one.
Yeah, something about St. Paul.
That was Rupert.
That was Rupert. And her saying,
because remember, the one thing, if you're ever curious, if it's because I do get them mixed up, not in the book, but in the video, in the series, just because they do look, first of all, they all have beards.
Yeah.
But they look kind of similar. I can get Angus and Murta mixed up. The one thing that I think is the easiest way to keep them separate is that Murta doesn't talk a lot.
No.
Angus is the one so far with these, like, quips.
Yeah.
Okay, here's how I define them. Angus has a beard. Murta is dirty. Murta also
stinks,
has a beard, but
him.
He's dirty
looking. He looks dirty.
He looks much dirtier than Angus.
But it was Rupert that made the comment about St. Paul.
Angus tends to me, tries to make funny comments. Whereas Murta
is very serious.
Like, yeah.
He's much more serious. So
that was funny, though. That whole scene
was great.
Like, methylate, like, and that was a big scene.
Because it was just like blank. Blank looks
it's
on
true.
All their faces until she hits alcohol and they're like, oh, we're be recognized.
And here's the thing.
Okay, then.
When I watched,
they looked like she looked to them. They were like she was speaking Chinese.
She was,
like,
she was speaking Chinese.
Remember
to
what
me,
Ron?
I'm not
familiar.
Remember
with
what Ron Moore said? The past is an alien culture. She was an alien.
Here's my thought on it. For the most part, I will say when I watch television shows by myself, I don't audibly react. However, the first time I saw this, I watched the series. I was in a hotel room with earbuds in. And when that alcohol line came up, I cracked up. But that line has gotten laughs for me solo on my own as a group in the premiere and then subsequent viewing.
Yeah.
So we're very near the end of the episode. And
she dresses his wound, gets
him
upwardly
mobile. She does, this whole scene. And the guys are waiting, but they're a little bit off. And they're like, look, you know, clean him up, get him ready to ride, because
we gotta go.
But they walk away.
It's true.
And when they're talking, she's basically saying, you know, he needs to rest, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, we need to go. And if they're going to leave me with a pistol, because Randall, blah, blah, blah. And she's walking away.
But when she says Randall, she turns around, like, why do you know my name?
Exactly.
And what I enjoyed about this whole
scene... And Summer
scene,
noticed this, not me, so I had to watch it again to see
I didn't notice that at all.
Oh, I did. What I will say is that going into this scene, what I felt is that she began to view him as a soldier, and she began to get back into her I'm a nurse mode, because when she helps him up, she's like, on your horse, soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt like she was like, I know where I am now. I know how to be.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm back where I'm comfortable. I know how to do this.
Nursing people is
right.
What
this
know.
Is what she's mm-hmm. comfortable with. I think she's in a foreign area
mm-hmm.
and a foreign time, but she's reached a point where she's like, I know how to deal with what's going on. This is something I understand.
I think that's why she jumps into it, because she's like, her world has turned upside down, and she grasps onto the only thing that she recognizes,
exactly.
And that's nursing.
And this does not scare her. She feels in control of this. She can handle it.
Yeah, and she doesn't have any fear of the men. She says exactly what she wants to them. Anyway.
So it's character building, this scene. I think that this is setting a tone.
We haven't seen her like this since, even though she didn't have as many things to say and there was not as much arguing in the scene, she hasn't been this type of character since the war flashback.
Right, yeah. And it was such a short scene that they're, exactly. that we didn't see I think that they needed something to haul her back to that, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Where you kind of like go, okay, this is obviously her most recent space of being, like mm-hmm. like she's
yeah
she was this for so long in her adult life that this is what yeah. she's most comfortable with, and I think that going forward that continues, like even as she gets assimilated with the time frame that she's in,
yeah mm-hmm.
I think that she's always most comfortable when she's dealing with sick and injured people.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. As they ride on, basically the episode ends with them arriving at Leah.
Wow, that was a marathon. Are you guys still here and listening? If so,
I hope so.
Please join us back next week when we discuss episode 2 on our episode 51.
I think so.
Episode 2 entitled Castle Leoch.
I think they might be going to Castle Leoch.
That is the opinion that I am holding to.
Thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @outlanderpod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpod. Or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com. I dreamt it last night. My young love.